I'm going to introduce to you now Reverend Floyd E. Veith Jr., who pastored Living Faith from July 1992. For some context, I believe that is a month after my parents were married. So I am 24 years old right now. And until June 2007, right, when I was 7 years old. So welcome, and thank you for the message.
Couldn't help but think as we were singing that song, how great is our God. You know what? I have to tell you, as he said, it's been 17 years since I left here as pastor. But we still, it's the same God and the same Jesus today it was then. God hasn't changed. Now we change, you know, a little bit. By and by, but God hasn't changed. It's the same God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Brenda called me and said, could you speak for us on anniversary Sunday? I'd forgotten it. It was also Pastor Appreciation Sunday, Pastor Chris. I don't know about you, but I was a little bit leery on Pastor Appreciation. I didn't have control of that day. They took total control.
And I gave him a little bit.
Yeah. And I was a little leery because you just didn't know what they might come up with or what they might do. And so I was always just a little bit on the edgy side and leery side about what they were going to pull off or what they were going to do. And I survived them all, though. I survived them all. Thankful for that. I remembered anniversary Sunday, and this is our 94th, I believe, anniversary Sunday. Is that correct?
92nd.
Okay, 92nd. Okay. I knew it was up close in there, but my mind doesn't recall things quite as easily as they used to. 92 years that we've been here. And I couldn't help but think about anniversary Sunday, and anniversary Sunday is a Sunday to remember. Anniversaries are to remember, right? You know, I mean, you think about the old couple who've been married 42 years, and he came to the house with 36 roses. And she said, what are those? He said, well, they're for our anniversary. She said, they're only 36. He said, well, I threw six out for the years that weren't so good. And she thought a minute and threw out six more. You know, there are good years and there are bad years. There are things that go well and things that don't go well. But you know what? They're all a part of our history and a part of our memory. We don't forget the bad. We don't live on the bad, but we don't forget the bad. We can't forget. And I knew that sometime, some years ago, that probably a DS by the name of Chris Gehrig, I'm not sure exactly what his name, but Gehrig, was in Fort Wayne, and there were some other pastors and people in Fort Wayne that thought, we need a church in Yoder. Yoder was a notoriously rough, tough town. I understand that one time they had, 11 taverns or places in Yoder for partying and drinking. Pretty rough town. In fact, the editor of the Fort Wayne paper didn't believe the rumors that he had heard about how rough and tough Yoder was. So he was encouraged to come out and see for himself, and he came out. And understand, he got mugged several times just walking around town before he got back on the, whatever it was, the bus or whatever kind of transportation they had to get back to Fort Wayne. It was a town that needed the gospel. Now, the church here had closed, the building had closed, and so they did a little survey with the college students, Fort Wayne Bible College students and such, and decided to start a church here. And started it in that little building right across the road from Ted and Casey Torres' house, which at that time was on the corner of that street, those two streets, Yoder Road, facing Yoder Road. And it went through history and time went along. And they called a man by the name of Clinton Moser, who came as the first pastor. And I met Clinton when I just had joined the missionary church in the 1960s. He was one of the first men I met. I didn't know he had pastored this church until I got here and found out the history of the church. But I found out there are different men that I knew through the history of time. Some of you would know some of them. I don't know all of them, but Charlie Kaufman was one. And Charlie I met in Beulah Beach, Ohio, at a church camp. First time I met Charlie. And then Jim Johnson, who has there. And Jim Johnson pastored the church. And in fact, he was the one that, when the church caught on fire, was trying to put it out with a garden hose. He later told me, said, I realized how silly that was. But somehow or another, they always believed that God sent an angel to reveal to them that the church was on fire. Because some man stopped and told them that the church was on fire. And they never did see that man again in their life. Didn't know where he came from or where he went. They believed God just sent an angel to tell them. That's what Jim told me and others told me. The church survived a tornado later on. We've survived numerous things and events and happenings through the history of our church. And as we go along, we get there and find different things happened. And I remember my first Sunday here. Dale and Evelyn Reinhart were celebrating their anniversary, wedding anniversary. That was my first Sunday here. Dale Reinhart was the brother of two of our young ladies still in the church by the name of Donna and Betty. Okay? So that's part of the history that we have here. I began my 15-year ministry here, as I said, in 1992, July of 1992. And the first Thanksgiving, we had a baptismal service. Now, Jeff didn't tell me that the baptistry plug didn't always connect and hold water. So they filled the baptistry up. The water was heated. Got in there to baptize three people, Carol Pritchard and Janet Powell and Ewing Collier. Collier, good old fellow. Not very tall, very sturdy, very muscular, heavy. And when I got in the baptistry, they hadn't told me that it wouldn't necessarily, if you had to make sure the plug was in there good and tight or it wouldn't hold water. And the water was only up about that deep. I don't know about you, but when you get ready to baptize somebody, that's a long ways down there. Didn't have any trouble with Janet Powell and Carol Pritchard. But Collier was a good stocky fella. And when I dipped him down, my back foot slipped. And I almost dropped him. And I just froze. And when I did, something snapped up here in my shoulder. So I remember the first baptismal service I had. Chris, I suppose that they've corrected that by now. But good. I'm glad they did. But after that, I always made sure that that plug was good and tight before we filled it up. But that was my first baptismal service that I had here. Now, I don't know about you, but some of you remember a couple by the name of Ansel and Florence Tucker. Ansel and Florence had known each other for years. In fact, Ansel was a single man who had never been married, 74 years old. And after Florence's husband died, her husband and Ansel had been friends at work through the years. And he'd attended Harvester Avenue Missionary Church up by the old Harvester plant. Never accepted Jesus as a Savior. But she was living down in Columbus, Indiana. And he'd drive down to see her now, and sometimes she'd come up here. And one day after church, she wrote me a letter and said, I wish you'd call on Ansel and talk to him. He's never accepted Jesus. And so here he is, 74 years old. I go to see him, 1st of April, there in his trailer court. He accepted Jesus. And she wouldn't marry him because hadn't accepted Jesus. They'd become good friends through those years. And like I say, they'd known each other, and her husband, he had been friends. So I said to him, Ansel, I suppose you need to make a phone call now. Yep. You know, if you got more than that out of Ansel, that was a lot. And so he called her and told her what he'd done. That was the 1st of April. I got invited to their house several times for a meal on that day because of his birthday, spiritual birthday. They decided to go ahead and get married now. And so they wanted a June wedding. So they said, we'd like to have it just a simple wedding. And they wanted Karen and Ralph Hayes, my wife Karen at that time, to be there. So I said, well, why don't we do this on a Wednesday night at the church and have the Bible study people and the young people from the young people's group attend the service? Well, she didn't know about that. Told a friend about it. His friend got real excited. I'll provide the cake and ice cream. And everything was arranged for almost. So there were about 45 to 50 people here. And for the first time in his life, at the age of 74, Ansel got married. Okay? Now, I think it was October, we had a baptismal service on anniversary Sunday, and Ansel got baptized. And then they joined the church in November. I could never figure out what we could do more to make any other year a greater event in Ansel's life than that year. Accepted Jesus, got married, both for the first time, baptized, and joined the church. I thought that was probably the greatest thing that could happen along there. There they were. Well, things happened, and you know different people. Some of you know Marilyn Galloway. Her husband, Ron, had accepted Jesus, but never been baptized. Though he was baptized as a baby, never been baptized as a believing adult. And so he decided that he would get baptized. This is 1994 now. And he decided he needed to be baptized, ought to be baptized. You never know what you're going to influence people. So he agreed. He gave his testimony. And there was a couple named Jerry and Sandy Hatfield who'd been baptized as babies, but never, when they came to know Jesus Christ as adults, never had been baptized. Listened to Ron's testimony, and at a later time, they decided to be baptized as believers. And so, remember, you know, all these are memories that I can share with you and things that happen. And things go along. Then around 2005, a boy by the name of Adam Maloney was baptized. And Adam was always something special because I remembered when he had been just a few years, well, the first year or two I was here, I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but Adam had been playing in the backyard and his dog turned around and ran into him and broke his leg, thigh, right up here, wasn't it, Betty? Up in his thigh, I believe. And I had gone to the hospital down at Bluffton to see him, and Betty was there, and they were wanting to send him home. He had a big, long cast on. She couldn't get him in his car, and so we put him in the seat of my van, and I brought him home from the hospital. I remember Adam, remember those things. Adam was baptized, and a couple of years later, Cheryl was baptized. And Cheryl's here this morning. Good to see you, Cheryl. I miss seeing Cheryl at Walmart now, but anyway, she's changed up. The last year I was here as a pastor, I baptized a man and led him to the Lord in his home. He was a neighbor to Betty Sizemore. And the same lived on that road that Chuck and Donna live on. Ron Comer. Went in, saw Ron. He accepted the Lord. He had some issues and family problems. And so then after I left, I lost track of Ron. Didn't know what happened to him. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Mildy's restaurant down in Bluffton, and I walked in, and in the first booth, there sat Ron Comer. I instantly recognized him as the man he was. I couldn't think of his name. You know, like I say, things are changing as we get older. Couldn't think of his name, but I recognized him, and he recognized me, and we talked to each other, talked a little bit, talked about his life, his family that was there with him now. And I asked him about his spiritual life and where he's going to church. He wasn't attending, so I encouraged him there. But you never know what's going to happen through life. You never know how you're going to influence someone or someone's going to see you. I always thought about Ron Galloway giving his testimony that Sunday, influencing Jerry and Sandy Hatfield to accept the Lord. Incidentally, the Bryants also made that kind of decision. We're baptized during this time of ministry. So many, many memories. And we need to have memories. Turn to Exodus chapter 12, if you would. In Exodus chapter 12, God has some things happening with the Israeli people. These people have been in Egypt about 400 years, close to 440 years. They had started out, things were real good when they got there, and then things began to deteriorate. The Egyptians got afraid they were going to become too powerful, so they made slaves out of them. Now they're there. But God said it's time to leave this land of slavery. And so in Exodus chapter 12, if you go down to verse 12, it says, "On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread. He goes ahead and gives them details. And then he continues on what they're going to do. Verse 24, skip down to verse 24. "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land the Lord will give you, as he promised, and observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean?' tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped." God, stir our hearts through your word this morning. As we have memories, as I said, both good and bad. And I don't necessarily think that God wants us to forget the bad. Now, he doesn't want to control us. But I remember the Apostle Paul, time after time, this man who's been there, he often said, "I was a murderer. I was a person who did things to the people of the church. I punished them. I beat them. Sometimes murdered, arrested them, brought them before councils to be judged." One time he said, "I was the chief of sinners." But you know what? While Paul remembered his past, he didn't live in his past. He lived in the present and lived for the future. And so we look at ourselves and we think of so many things. And we know that anniversaries are days to commemorate. Right? There are days to remember. God says, don't forget where you've been and what's gone on and the things that have happened, both good and bad, in your past. And we could name things that are good and things that weren't so good in our past here. I'm sure of that. Know of some of those during my time, at least. But they're supposed to celebrate and supposed to continue on. He told them, he said, "Stay in the house until morning. Don't even go outside that night, and you'll be safe. And the Lord, I will pass through." You know, he said, "I will pass over you." Me, God. So now the children, when they had this feast, they're going to say, "Dad, Grandpa, whoever the patriarch was, what does this mean? All these bitter herbs and this roasted lamb and these things that we're eating and observing, what do they mean?" And you'll tell them about the time you were in Egypt as slaves. You'll tell them how God delivered you when you put the blood on the doorpost of your houses and the overhead, the lintel. And you'll tell them how that you obeyed the Lord and he delivered you. Delivered your lives, delivered your firstborn's lives, in particular, that night, and delivered you from slavery of Egypt. I think that all of us need to have a testimony to our children and our grandchildren of how we came to know Jesus Christ. For some of us, we grew up in church. Some of us didn't grow up in church. Some of us heard about Jesus Christ from the time we were in the cradle, and we were privileged to hear that gospel message. Some of us walked in the depths of sin, while others of us walked on the surface, I suppose you could say, of sin. Because we recognize and know that sometimes there are things that socially and physically and mentally can be very devastating to us. And yet, all of us were in that same sea of sin. We were all lost without Jesus Christ. We were all, as the children were in Egypt, they were all slaves. Some of them had better slave conditions than others, I'm sure of that. You know, if you go back in our own history of the South, during the days of slavery, there were some good slave owners and some bad slave owners, but they were all slave owners. And all of the people under them were slaves. Conditions might have varied, but they were still all slaves. We were all slaves to sin. None of us exempted. No one. No matter what our background, socially, spiritually, we were slaves to sin. And yet, somewhere, someone brought us a message that God has provided blood to put on your hearts to deliver you from sin, to wash your souls white and deliver you from sin. As a church, we have all people, church people, we've all been there. But praise God, we're not there now. Now, sometimes we look back and we forget, you know, where we were. When we walk in Jesus and when we accept Jesus and let him cleanse our hearts, we become justified and we become delivered from slavery of sin. And God has the capacity to forgive us. And God has the capacity to remember our sins against us no more, doesn't he? That's what he says. He says, I'll remember them, never remember them against you. They'll be buried in the depths of the sea. They'll be removed as far as the east and the west. Not north and south, east and west. I always like that. Because, you know, if you start going west, you'll never start going east. If you start going north, eventually you'll start going south. Start going east, you'll never go west. I always like that illustration. He'll never, ever remember them and bring them up to us again. Now, we look back. And we look at our history, we look at our lives, we look at who we are and where we are. And we look at why did God establish us and why are we here? And we recognize that God didn't establish us as a church just to be a society and fraternity of believers. Now, I believe he wants us to be that, but that's not our sole purpose. We're to be here. And we find, as we study the Gospels and the Scriptures, that God established us to encourage one another, to comfort one another, to build one another up, to enable one another. But he established us that we can go forth and be witnesses to an unsaved world. He wants us to be able to reach out still to all those people who are still in the bonds of slavery to sin. And that includes everyone who has never accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Witnessing and sharing and giving that message to people. People like Ansel Tucker, who grew up in the church. All his life, 74 years old, never had accepted Jesus. Living under gospel preaching. Don't tell me that Harvester Avenue Missionary Church, I knew its history. It was a great missionary church messenger to the world of his time. And I know he heard the gospel through those years, but he never had responded to accept Jesus. Ron Comer, who to my knowledge didn't grow up in church at all, but I can't even tell you how we got acquainted, how, how things, I don't know if he attended church here, and I couldn't tell you that part, but all I know is he accepted Jesus in his home. People that have grown up hearing the gospel, people that have never heard the gospel, what happens if they don't accept Jesus, don't have him in their heart as their personal Savior? They're slaves to sin and have no hope of eternal glory. So we look to us and we look at ourselves and see, what was our mission back in the 1930s, the 1940s, 50s, and on through the years? What is our mission in 2024? To be an encouragement to one another and to be a witness and a lighthouse to that world that's around us. Sometimes, you know, I can tell you personally, it's not always easy to just witness to people, is it? Some people see have a natural ability and it just seemed to flow out of them so naturally. Marilyn Galloway, golly, if you ever go to her house, she'll find out right away if you know Jesus Christ or not. I can guarantee you that. It just flows from her. It just, you know, pours out of her. Seems so natural. That wasn't the natural me, okay? But still, God wants us to be witnesses to people around us. And not just silent witnesses. He wants verbal witnesses. He wants us to tell those people. We must not and cannot forget our past people. But as a body of believers, we have to look to the day of our founding and remember why he established us, that we began in that building, as I said, across from Ted and Kay's house. Later, years later, they moved it and turned it 90 degrees. I think it's an apartment. Is it an apartment building now or just a house? One of the two, I'm not sure which it is. And Chris, that little house on the corner right there, that would have been your parsonage. Yeah, I've looked at that little house a lot of times as I drove by. I think, Lord, thank you that they've been able to move away from that. But our mission is still what? To see an unsaved world without Jesus Christ. We've been a lighthouse, and it's been a blessing to see dozens of lives changed through eternity. And we remember our purpose was and is be a witness of God's saving grace and extending hope to a dying world. In doing this, we will remember the Lord's death who made it possible. Now God said to the children of Israel, this shall be a living, lasting memorable time for you. You shall remember it all the rest of your life. And I'm reminded that we ourselves are to remember Christ's death. Now, if we don't do it any other time, we do it every time we take communion, do we not? What does Paul say? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do remember the Lord's death till he comes. And we have to remember, the only reason I can stand before you today and say I have Jesus Christ in my heart as my Savior is because he died on the cross of Calvary for me. That's the only reason I can stand here and proclaim to you a message of hope and a message of grace and a message of love and a message that he has established us to be his witnesses. We remember his death and that he made it possible. And we remember that death has freed us from being slaves to sin and have become servants of righteousness. I know some people, you know, for some of us, it's harder to remember good things. I read in the Bible, and there were some times, some of those people, you know, life didn't always go good for the Jewish people. They backslid a little bit and got involved with things, and God brought some judgment, and some of them got carried away again into captivity, away from their homeland of Israel. And they got over here, and some of the people in this new land said, hey, take your harps and sing a song. And they said, oh, things aren't like they used to be. We can't sing our songs here. Well, I found out that that if we have the right attitude to God, God didn't change from Israel to that captive land, but their attitudes changed. And so one of the scriptures says they hung their harps on the, by Bible professor Yosef Lapp says, they hung their harps on the willows and cried instead of singing. Well, I don't know if they did that or not, but they had lost their song. And yet we find men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, others through the years of history under adverse conditions had a song to sing to the Lord, didn't they? Regardless of their surroundings, they had something in their heart that said, we are free. We are his children. We have been delivered. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. Circumstances on the outside don't change the conditions on the inside. And so these people had problems. Some of the people, when they rebuilt the temple, instead of being thankful they had a rebuilt temple, all they could think of, oh, it's not as glorious as the old one was. And they could only live in the past and not see the blessing of the present and the hope of the future. We don't forget the past, people. We don't forget the good or the bad. But we can't live there. We're living today. Circumstances have changed for many of us. I look at some of you, from the time I began to know you, you've aged a little bit, okay? Circumstances have changed. Physical conditions have changed. I look at our neighbor, Darlene. Some of you, many of you know Darlene Shibley, when she was here. Her mind is basically gone. Memories. But she's still here. And she can still give praise to the Lord. Conditions change for us. But our hearts still have a loving relationship with an eternal God. And he can give us a song to sing from the inside out, not the outside in. So while we remember the past, we don't live there. We're living today, but we're looking forward to the future because we remember his death until he comes. And we know that someday life will change again for us for eternity. And our hope lives there as we go about. We have the privilege of working with Tim and Sherry and Ron and Phyllis Phipps, that some of you know, down at River Terrace. And messages there of these people that you bring to the service in wheelchairs, some of them in beds, some of them can still walk without walkers, but not all of them. But you look and you think, we're living today and these people can sing and give praise to God. But we know that someday, we'll be delivered from all of this for all of eternity. And so we look forward to that. But in the meantime, we continue until he fulfills that day to remain faithful to what he's called us and established us to do. To what? Be a blessing and a witness to the world around us. And when we remember his blessings and his goodness to us, it should prompt us to be faithful in obedience. In doing so, you'll be more named. And one of these days, Chris, after you retire, 17 years after you retire, they call you back for an anniversary Sunday, you name all the names that you have on your records of things that God, blessings God has brought into your life, their lives, and give them a picture again of the future that is before us. We want to put those names on the roll so that they will be a blessing to the world. God said to Abraham, Abraham, you will be a blessing to the world. God says to you and me, be a blessing to your world. Tell them of the hope that lives in Jesus Christ and go forward with him. Remember the past. Anniversary Sundays are for remembering, but they're also for looking forward. And so today, as we think of the past, as we could tell stories, and those of you who have come in the 17 years, it's always delightful for me to come and see new faces here. It really is. People that weren't here when I was pastor. Reaching out, touching people's lives, bringing people to know Jesus Christ, and then looking to the future and looking forward to those who are yet to come and yet to proclaim His grace and love. May God stir us. May He anoint us to have memories of the past, but to live in the present and to prepare for the future. Pray with me. Lord, lest we forget, jog our memories of the past. Lord, help us to remember that past, but not to live in the past, to live in the present, and to move forward and look forward to what you have in the future. And as we think of the history that you've given to us as a people, as a church, might indeed we rejoice in what you've done through the years of this church, Yoder Missionary Church, which became Living Faith Missionary Church, which will go forth to proclaim your word and your name. Anoint the pastor and his family. Give them blessing and give them foresight. Give them a view of your blessing, of open doors of opportunity for them to minister. Be with the people as they too remember the past, but live in the present and have a hope of what you're still yet to do in them and through them. And anoint them to go forth with your power and your strength, because we have a faith and a trust in the one who has brought salvation to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Strengthen us day by day. Enable us to be everything you want us to be. And as we go our way, might we go rejoicing in the grace and the love that we have found through Jesus. Now, as we fellowship together and as we join together for the anniversary service, Sunday dinner, might again, we rejoice in the blessings that we share through the provisions that we have. And then might we go forth in the strength that you provide us to once more proclaim the name of Jesus to an unsaved, dying world that needs your salvation. Strengthen us, guide us, and anoint us. We thank you for your blessing and go forth in the name of Jesus. Amen.